Welcome to True Vine Talks with Rachel and Linda. Yay.
Yes.
So Rachel and I had a topic, and then right before we got on, we were talking about motherhood and the challenges of having a baby, and being a working mama. So that was something
Yes.
she and I were cackling over and thought well, let's just talk about what this is like.
Yes. So we decided to change our topic to parenthood for today. Yeah. So we're just swinging it, unprepared. We're just gonna have a conversation. But, I just told Linda that's so in line with my experience of parenthood so far. Like, I feel like I'm just winging it. Like, here we go every day.
Well, what is it like to be a new mom? Because it's been a minute for me. So, what's it like for you?
It is exhausting, honestly. Like, that's the first word that comes to mind. And I know some people might hear that and be like, oh, that's so terrible. Like, this should be the most like joyous, like exciting time of your life to have this precious baby. And there are definitely moments of that. Don't get me wrong. I love my baby.
Of course.
He's amazing. I'm also sleep deprived and don't have hardly any time for myself, so it is exhausting for sure.
Thank you for being sharing and transparent.
Yes, yeah, I definitely want to do as much as I can to keep it real and be honest whenever anybody asks me about my experience as a mother, because I feel like I felt like I was going into this not naive, but I so clearly was naive about so many things. And so if I can help some other new mom be less naive, I think that is helpful. I wish I had been warned about so much.
What would have been some things you would have liked to know?
I have told so many people I wish someone had told me what those first 2 weeks postpartum were really going to be like, because I was shocked and scared at how I felt. I was so emotional. And when I started asking other moms what it was like for them, they related and it was very similar. So, like, I guess after, someone gives birth, your hormones are just go haywire, because all those pregnancy hormones that were like, creating this baby and keeping it alive and are suddenly like, rapidly decrease. And hormones that you didn't need during pregnancy are now rapidly rising, right, to help you produce milk if you're going to breastfeed like I am, and all these other things. And so I just felt like an absolute roller coaster of emotions. I would be anxious and then I would be like so sad, and I would just like cry like multiple times a day. And I'd be like, what am I even crying about right now? Like, this is wild. It was just absolutely wild, Linda. Oh my gosh.
You're like that experience that you're being so honest and raw and real, Rachel. I appreciate your authenticity because when I brought my baby home and Charlie went back to work, I looked at Grant and I was just like, okay, I gotta keep you alive.
Yeah.
I'm scared to death. I mean, I was
Yeah.
start, start, start.
Yeah.
And you're there alone, and you think because some people come in and they help a little while. It just there's something about being a mom that first time and looking at this life, this beautiful life, and you're like, whew, you're making the food for it, not it, the baby, for the baby. Your life is completely, they're depending on you for life. That's,
Yeah.
whew, think of that. God made us that well. Sorry about that. God made us that well that we are making their food for them. That's a heavy load.
It is. And you know that your life is going to change having a child. Like, that's obvious. Everybody knows that. I think you just don't think of all the little nuanced ways that it's going to change until it's actually happening. So, like, my husband and I, for years, we would sit down and have dinner together in the evening, and that was like this daily ritual that we had apparently taken for granted because that doesn't happen anymore.
Nope. Nope. Nope.
You just have in your mind like, oh, baby will either lay over here in a bassinet or like be in a high chair and just no, it's gonna be screaming, it's not happy, or it's like nap time and someone needs to go put it to bed, or also, I didn't know that babies don't know how to sleep, not all of them. Some are great sleepers. Some are not. My son is not a great sleeper. It's like an Olympic event trying to help this child go to sleep. He needs like bounced and patted and shh. Like, you put him, finally put him it to down to nap, and you're like sweating, like walking out of the nursery,
Screaming.
like, oh, okay, we survived another nap. Like, and then 30 minutes later, he's up, like wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, like ready to go. And you're like, oh, well, at least I had time to go to the bathroom and like eat a snack. Like, here we go again. So.
Oh, Rachel, I'm resonating with my memories with Grant. That's so true. It's like, wow, he stopped napping around 6 months.
Cannot imagine.
Maybe it was closer to a year. He was so excited, so looking around. He had all this, awe. You could see it in his eyes. He's so sweet. And I was like you, putting him to bed, like, hey, mom's tired. I've slept 2 hours last night. You're in like a disassociation that
Right.
first year. You're disassociating.
Yes. Yes. Oh my goodness, yes. And you know that you're not going to sleep. You know that. But you don't know how much that lack of sleep is going to impact you physically, emotionally, mentally. I feel genuinely so much empathy for anyone struggling with. What is it when you can't sleep? My brain, because I'm have no sleep, I just like my brain is mashed potatoes.
I see the mashed potatoes. It's okay. I'm here for you,
It's
sister.
with an I, and it's when you can't sleep. What is that called?
Insomnia.
Thank you.
Insomnia.
Okay. I feel like that takes away from the genuineness, but seriously, I empathize with anyone who has insomnia. Because not sleeping wrecks you.
Oh, yeah. You can't
You're,
think.
oh, you can't think. I mean, I literally forgot the word insomnia just now. Like you forget. I constantly feel like I'm dropping balls left and right. You can't
Oh,
focus. Your memory is like forget about it.
there's no memory.
There's no memory. You're irritable. You don't have the patience you want.
It's exhausting, and we go into it, with, eyes wide open, we think, and then when you're sleep deprived and you're hungry and you haven't brushed your hair in a few days, you're like,
Seriously, though, it's like, who has the time?
and this is such an indication of what a good mom you are and how you're creating secure attachment for him, and like you're just doing all the things. And you're doing it sacrificially.
I wish it felt better, you know? But it really honestly just makes me feel like a hypocrite because I tell people how important self-care is every day. And I truly do believe that, you know?
Yeah. Well, you do believe
There's
that.
this like, there's just, there is not genuinely not time.
Yeah. So we want to just applaud you for your work and for being a good mom, Rachel.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's
I'm
exhausting.
trying. Yeah.
What are
And
some
to every other mom out there giving it their best, you know?
Yeah, it's just,
And the
you know,
dads. It's hard on the dads, too.
it's so hard on the dads. I don't know if, you know, before Charlie came in and he said, you know, he would get up with Grant because he got up at 5 a.m. religiously, 5 a.m. from the
Oh, early.
born. And he's not winded down at like 7:30. No, this is he went, we did all the things, like you said, I'm rocking him, doing all the things.
It's wild how much force. You're like, how is this soothing to you? Am I giving you a concussion? Like, what is going on? Babies just want to bounce and be thus swung around. It's wild.
Yeah, it's like where's something that's going to soothe them for like 20 minutes so you can just breathe.
Yes. Oh my goodness, it's so hard not having a break. You know? Yeah. Another thing I didn't realize was like, you have never experienced constant demand until you become a parent. That
Well,
constant demand, it, that is an, the exhausting part. And it's like you could probably deal with that if you were sleeping, but like you're not sleeping and you have to be on 24/7, you know, feeding that baby when they're hungry. Helping that baby go to sleep when they're getting overtired, cuddling that baby when they need physical contact, playing with that baby when they need s developmental stimulation. It, you know,
yeah,
yeah,
peekaboo.
peekaboo, and here's a rattle, and okay, we got to be learning how to roll over. And, oh.
Yeah, I see you. I feel you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope just people listening can relate and like feel validated in this because it's, I think that just people are afraid to talk about the nuances and the details. You know, you hear people say, oh, it's so hard. But I think there's not enough people talking about what exactly it is that makes it hard. And I know every baby's different, so every parent's going to have, you know, a slightly different experience. But I think there are some common threads, you know.
Yeah. And just the impact of a mom that has to work too while meeting all the n demands and breastfeeding, and it's unreal.
Yeah, trying to fit in breaks like, you know, to pump so you keep your supply up and your baby's got bottles for whoever's taking care of them while you're gone. It's like an additional, yeah. You feel like there's this like never-ending running list in the back of your head that you just like can't keep up with because you check like two or three off and then like two or three get added. And it's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like mentally taxing and exhausting.
You're right. It's so exhausting. And it's like you're throwing, I think what for me, because I'm like organized like you, is like I would write out my day, you know, when I wake up, I'm gonna exercise, then at 10 a.m. I'm gonna do my this, and then I had a schedule before we had Grant. Look at your face. There was time I had a very ducks in a row. All that went to hell.
Yeah.
I
Babies
said,
are like a schedule.
there's no
What's a
schedule.
schedule?
Forget about it.
Yes.
So, you're just like, I'm in this, what imagery would you use? I'm thinking of being in the ocean. What would you use to describe what it's like?
That's a good question. I am thinking of like the circus act of like that guy that has all those spinning plates on sticks and they're like balancing like seven plates that are all spinning at the same time. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. That's a great analogy. What's that like to be spinning so many plates?
That I keep saying exhausting, but it's exhausting. Yeah.
And to all those, moms, the unmet need at that time when you're spinning all those plates, what do you think you're overarching unmet need is
Rest.
rest.
Yeah, it's undoubtedly rest. But it's hard to even rest when you have the opportunity. Like, even on a weekend, if my husband's like, I'll watch the baby, like, please go upstairs, take a nap. I will try. But you're just laying there thinking about all those spinning plates. You can't, like, just close your eyes and fall asleep. Yeah.
So that's something I've been listening to or hearing about is the taxation of the mental work that a mama does. I've been seeing those reels on TikTok about the taxation and the overarching process of what a mom thinks about in a day. How exhausting that part of it is that we don't talk about. Do I
Right.
have diapers? Do I have wipes? Did I pump enough? Oh, what time's that appointment for them? Oh, I have a job. I gotta go see my client here at like
Oh, I've never paid so much attention to the time in my life, genuinely. And I had no idea I would. You're like, okay, when was the last time he ate? When is the next time he needs to eat? When was his last nap? How long was his last nap? When's his next nap need to be? Like, you're constantly like keeping track of time and like setting goals, you know, like, okay, well, he needs to eat again in 2 hours. So, yeah.
Yeah. So that part of you is managing so much, like you're managing and managing. And
Yeah. Yeah, because you're
what
thinking about that all that while you're like, you know, playing with the baby and trying to feed the dog. And make, when was the dog let out last? Oh, it was, you probably need to pee. Wait.
Sorry, dog.
Yes. And I feel bad that I'm like ignoring my poor dog because I love her and I can't imagine like moms of multiples that have, you know, toddlers running around while they're trying to take care of a baby. That must be extra exhausting. And the
My
guilt
sister.
that must come up because I'm saying I
Oh.
feel guilty for ignoring my dog. I can't imagine if my dog was a toddler, I would feel, you know.
You're right. My sister had three. One was 4 years older than the other two, but they were like back to back. And it was like, I don't know how she did it. I don't know how she. I don't know.
Yeah. Whole
Hands
new
down.
respect for moms, especially moms of multiple children.
Yeah. And chemically, what's happening inside our bodies when we're breastfeeding is I think that we still think our bodies are telling us that we're still kind of pregnant. Is that right, Rachel? I think that's what I've read. I can't remember.
I don't know, but I know I don't I think I don't know if it's postpartum or with breastfeeding, but someone compared it to menopause. And I was like, oh, wow, great. Hormonally, it's similar.
Yeah, I'm looking at that on the chat GT. What hormones are being released during breastfeeding? Because I forgot what. Because that would be interesting to understand what's happening in the brain. Because I felt pretty foggy. Just they call it the.
Yes. Well, your brain actually shrinks, I think like 2% during
Right.
pregnancy in case it, there's any like swelling during the birth. And it can take up to 2 years after birth for your brain to go back to its normal size.
Now that I didn't know.
So, yeah, that is interesting and explains so much. Yeah. So
Wow.
imagine, I mean, most people will have another child after 2 years.
True.
But I think that's kind of like the average. Like your brain maybe just got back to its normal size and now it's shrinking again. Exactly, like our poor brains. No wonder we are so forgetful and just feel like we're in a fog and
And the lack of sleep therein, and
oh yeah, that makes it worse.
oh, it's prolactin. That's the hormone that's
Hey,
responsible for milk
I
production.
knew it had like lactate, it was similar to like lactation or lactin. Okay.
Oxytocin is released when you're breastfeeding, so that's positive. Estrogen helps with the development of the breastfeeding. Progesterone plays a role in breast tissue development during pregnancy.
Yeah. The oxytocin part is funny to me because in those first 2 weeks when you're just like crying all nonstop, you're like, where's all this oxytocin I'm supposed to be giving?
Where's the feel-good drug in my brain? I'm not having that.
You just have this image in your head of like bringing this precious little newborn baby home that you're just gonna snuggle, and that is just so not the experience that I had. My first 2 weeks were rough emotionally. Yeah, I had like baby blues bad.
I experienced that dip too. Yeah, I'm with you, Rachel. That I think it's the alone part I felt.
Yeah, it
I
is
wish I had shared
isolating.
that with you. Yeah, I wish I
Yeah.
told
Well,
you.
it's okay 'cause like, you don't want to scare people. So I understand why people aren't like, "Oh, hey, heads up, those first 2 weeks are terrible." But
True.
I don't know. Someone needs to we got to figure out a way to warn people.
Well, we're doing it right now.
Yes. Here we are.
We're being transparent about our experiences with the birthing and the breastfeeding and the first time mom experience. And
Yeah.
I like that people be more authentic and genuine because one mom's experience isn't another mom's experience.
Right. I'm sure there's women out there that have a great, first 2 weeks, just that do just feel all that like just joy and yeah, oxytocin and all the good things. Yeah.
But for some of us, that's not true. And that doesn't mean anything different. We just have a different experience with our newborns, and we want to normalize that feeling of sad and overwhelm and exhaustion and lonely. I felt so lonely when I brought him home, you know.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah, I never realized how isolating parenthood could be, but that's a very common theme that I'm hearing from a lot of my like mom friends. Yeah. And in West Virginia, there's just a lot of rural communities, and there's just not a lot of opportunity to meet up with other moms and spend time with people that really get it.
Have you found any local ones, Rachel?
I have not. I have looked. Yeah.
Oh, there's supposed to be one called Mops. There was one in the churches when I was after I had Grant. Mops, I think it was
Okay,
called.
I'll look into that.
Yeah. And certainly, reaching out and just being like, I would just say, hey, I need someone to help me this weekend, and we would, get Grandma, Charlie's mom, she would watch him. And that was helpful to us because we needed a reprieve. Sent the breast milk,
Yes.
and I didn't feel any guilt over the fact that I needed a mental health break.
I don't either. I don't either. Yeah. But some people do. And that's very real. Some people feel very guilty whenever they leave, their child or their children with a babysitter and take a break to get away for a
Just
little
know
bit.
that, just as a mom, knowing though that Rachel, you're doing that, so you are feeling yourself refreshed, that you need
Yeah.
that to be the best you can be. And that's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I need to get out of this house, every now and then. Sometimes I'll be like, when was the last time I left this house by myself? And it'll be like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I'm like, ah! Suddenly feeling claustrophobic.
Yeah, it is socially isolating to be a new mom.
Yeah.
Because taking them out, it's like, well, I gotta get the car seat out, I get the diaper bag, I get.
It's so much, and they wail and scream in that car seat when you're driving, and that makes you not want to go anywhere. So you're like, I don't want to listen to him cry, not because I'm like mad at him or anything, just because it is like painful. That's not, I did not know that hearing my baby's cry was gonna feel like sticking my finger in an electric outlet. Like, it is anxiety provoking. Like, I want to immediately rush over to him and do everything I can to like soothe him. Yeah, it my nervous system just goes haywire.
That's your fight flight kicking in every time
Yes.
you hear him cry. You that attachment cue.
Yes. And that's what that like the that first 2 weeks. I keep going back to that. But it's like if you're not used to living in fight or flight survival mode, that is a shock to your system.
Yes,
And
ma'am.
that is exactly what it was to mine. That was a shock to my system because for years I had curated this calm, safe environment for myself. And now, suddenly, within that calm, safe environment, I am like feeling like there's this like fire, and I'm just running around in a house on fire or something like that.
Yeah. And that's what it feels like when they
Yes.
protest, cries like emergency, emergency. And it's not an emergency. They just want attention.
Yes. They're hungry or they're tired or they need to have a bowel movement because that's another thing babies don't know how to do. They don't know how to relax and just have a bowel movement. So they get in a lot of pain.
Yes. That is so true. Sometimes they need an enema.
Yeah. Or they need, a bottle or to breastfeed so that because that helps them relax everything for it to just kind of go through. But yeah, you're learning so much at once,
So true.
so much at once. It literally feels like that analogy of like, okay, like we're building the plane while we're flying it. You're just, yeah. Like we were not ready to take off. We thought we were, but we actually
Right.
needed a lot more training on this.
Lot more train. Let's put some duct tape over there. Duct tape them in. Make them a duct tape swing.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's all normal feelings that you're having. Yeah. Normal re
Yeah.
body reaction to the stimuli of the baby crying, and just it's so triggering too. And if you had a curated a like you said, I love how you said that, curated a very calm environment, and then it's all disrupted.
Yes. Yeah. Just total dysregulation. Me, my husband, obviously the baby.
And then it's like one person gets their needs met, then the other person is not. This constant
Yeah.
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know you're doing a great job. Yeah.
I'm just like, the whole process, I've just been so grateful for my counseling background, and the training that I've had because I know how to validate my own feelings and I know that all of this is normal. And, I just know that that must be so hard for people that don't have this type of background, So if you're a new mom, or an experienced mom, even if you're years in, if you find yourself struggling, please, please reach out for some counseling. I know it's hard to find the time. I know it's next to impossible to find the time, but you are worth it.
You are worth it. You are worth it. Well, I just love your authenticity, Rachel, and transparency today. And I, because I thought I was the only mom that felt that way. And then when you shared that with me some time ago, I was like, yeah, I
Oh,
hear you.
yeah. I think that's part of the loneliness and isolation too. It's like feeling like you're the only one that feels that way, and being a little nervous to share it with anyone else, in case you are the only one and people are like, "What's wrong with you?"
And that's the great thing about this culture now of transparency and authenticity is, normalizing that your experience is going to be different than someone else's experience. There's no shame around how you feel in your daily experience.
Yeah. Just I wish that everyone could remember the power of and. Like you can love your baby and be so grateful for your baby and feel exhausted, feel overwhelmed, feel anxious, feel grief, feel anything. I had to grieve my old life, like pre-child. Because it ain't ever gonna be like that again. And like I said, I had this very, very curated, calm life with daily rituals, that I've had to let go of.
Yeah. And my encouragement to you and all new moms is once they hit the preteen teen years and you've done all this work, your child's going to soar and you get all those routines back, sister.
Yay.
And then you get to see your kid do the same, curate their life. And you're like, all right, it was rough. It was rough. It was like on that plane, like you said, but now they're flying and you're not the one duct taping the plane. They're flying.
Yeah,
You
that'll
can
be
have
great.
your life that you had, and it'll get even better. It gets better. In the now though, don't feel like it, because it feels, and that's the thing I thought, it's like, this is how long does this last? Because it was tough. Not till pre-K to start feeling a little bit of normalcy. It took a while. Like he was like 3 and he started pre-K, and then he started getting a little more exhausted in the day. Then Charlie and I got sleep at night because he was getting his wiggles out. We couldn't, no, and we're high. I'm hyper, and I took him to the park. We went up and down the hills. He still had bundles of energy, and so when he got to socialize in pre-K, we
Nice.
finally got a better sleep pattern. And my wonderful professor, Dr. Linda Gerinella, diagnosed him with ADHD, and he doesn't mind me sharing that. And they gave him melatonin because his system didn't clock out. His circadian rhythms didn't clock out. And I didn't know that. I didn't know
Yeah.
what the sleep deprivation, because I could tell he needed more sleep. I was like, why is he not sleeping? He's so
Yeah.
excited for life. And it was.
Which is like sweet, and I'm sure part of you loved that, but also like you need some sleep.
We needed sleep.
Yeah. And as a
More
mom,
than.
it's like you know that your child needs sleep too. You know, it's like we all need sleep. It's so important. No. Yeah.
So it gets better when they go to pre-K because
Okay.
that's, they need the
Thanks for
socialization.
sharing that. Because you can't help but wonder, like, when does this get better? When am I gonna sleep again? Yeah.
It's coming.
I was afraid it would be like 18 years from now, maybe.
Well, we hope not.
Sleep for the next 18 years. Okay, here we go.
Just gonna walk around like a zombie. There goes Rachel. Where are you going, Rachel? Where's that? Where's Rachel? Yeah, it does. Pre-K, then when he gets into school, that'll even exhaust him a little more and he'll get into a rhythm. And like I said, getting those things checked out, like we did with him. I'm not saying that's your path. I'm just saying for us, it was like something wasn't correct because 6 hours a day for an under age 2 seemed very little to us. Like 6 hours was it there for a while.
Yeah.
Whew. I'm so glad we're normalizing these experiences and helping other mamas hear that it's okay if it's not perfect.
Oh, it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect. Yeah. 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 And if your social media feed is full of people making it look perfect, that's fake.
That's so fake.
Yeah, I had to take a little break from social media. I was just getting so much. These algorithms are creepy. Like as you bring your baby home, even just in pregnancy, you start getting all this pregnancy content. Bring your baby home, you're getting all this baby content. And it is overwhelming. You know, it's like, oh, these are all the milestones, and you have to be doing like this during tummy time, and you have to be, it's like you're like, oh no. I'm already failing. He's 3 weeks old, you know, like, and then you're like, no. Get
You're
off
not
this.
failing.
Right.
No. Those are ideals that people present their best foot forward. I watched Nora, I forget her last, she's a beautiful model and she's making fresh food from scratch on TikTok. And she's become super Nora. She's married to that lucky guy. She's so beautiful and she's making stuff from scratch. And I said, how in the world with 3 kids is this lady making bubble gum from all these ingredients? Natural ingredients. From scratch.
Wow.
And
It's
I thought,
because that's their job. I have to constantly remind myself, their job is being a content creator. They're creating content for the rest of us to consume. That's it. Period.
that's not real life.
No, that is not real life.
Her baby's throwing up on her and the other one's pooped on itself. That's what's
Oh my
really.
gosh, yes, that is 100% that what's happening.
That's really what's
Yes.
happening.
She puts her baby down for a nap and she goes to sit on the couch for 20 minutes and she there's spit up in her hair, so now she has to go take care of that.
That's the truth.
Yes.
Or she has a whole team there doing all the things, you know, because they're
Yes.
content creators. So keeping that in
Yes.
mind.
Yes. Oh, real quick before we wrap up, I love that you mentioned, or she has a whole team there. I have been so reminded that it takes a village, you know, because I think mothers used to, you know, live in tribes and villages and have all of this support. You know, there were people who could hold and cuddle the baby, you know, and like help feed baby and all of these things, watch the baby, you know, snuggle them while the baby sleeps, play with the baby. And most of us moms, like you said, it's lonely. Most of us are kind of like doing it by ourselves most of the day without much help. And I really do think that that plays into that emotional roller coaster that you feel in those first few weeks. Because I think our DNA, like I think our body, our brain knows I'm supposed to have a village right now. I'm supposed to have all these people surrounding me, helping me figure out how to do this. Something's wrong. Because it really, I just had this like this constant feeling for a while. Like it's gone now, but like this, you just have this like on edge feeling like, oh no, something's wrong. And I really think that that was my body afraid that like my village got wiped out or, you know.
That's right. That's a good way to put it. It's like, where's the village?
Yeah.
And in our culture, we've socially isolate ourselves, you know, like family doesn't live close by, and we've got to, you know, depend on other resources to get what we need for our own village. It's very isolating. And you're right. This past summer, if I can add this too, because we're on a roll
Please.
here, the dolphins out in Jekyll Island, we went and toured the dolphins, Charlie and I did.
Oh, how nice.
The lady described how the dolphins give birth. And she saw it happen in real time and has video footage of it. It's on Facebook. The dolphins would swim around the mother, right? They would encirculate her right before she's giving birth. And the midwife was underneath her and helping her get the baby out, and the baby pops up into the water, and all the dolphins keep swimming around her and supporting, and the midwife helps scoop up the baby, and they do this. This is
That's
how
beautiful.
dolphins live.
Oh, that's gorgeous. I love that.
When and why and where and how did we go from community and tribal and having relatives to these isolated, how did that happen? That's the big
Yeah.
social
Like it's
question.
not meant to happen in a vacuum, but it's so
Yeah.
normal now to be like, you know, and I respect, like I did want some alone time with just my husband and I and the baby, you know. So it is that there's, but there's this like, I don't know, and I guess it's just industrialized society and people, you know, because of jobs or whatever, like, you know, we're living further away from our families and friends, and it just makes it hard.
It's really hard. And I think your body was telling you that you needed a village.
I do. I think my body, and I think a lot of other women's bodies. So I don't know. That helped me. I saw some content on that, that made it click and helped me be like, oh, okay. My
Right.
body is aware that there should be a village or a tribe here around me. And because there's not, part of this like weird sense of grief I'm feeling is my body thinking that my whole village, you know, something bad must have happened.
Wow. And that's where your brain's probably been.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of postpartum depression, maybe in
Ooh, I
modern
think you're
day. I
onto
really
something.
do. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
Well,
I really do. I was experiencing that, and I started my own therapy for that. And I think once I made that connection, like things got so much better for me. I'm not saying that's a cure-all for everybody, obviously, but I don't know. There's something there.
you know, I want to be a part of your village, and
I know you are.
yes. And Charlie and I have great experience with a boy. So if you ever, you know, we're
Yes.
here.
Thank you. Yes, with a boy who is having just a lot of similarities that we're
Yeah.
experiencing with like high energy and lack of sleep. So, yes.
Yes. Well, Rachel, this was a great podcast. Thank you for being so open and real and authentic today for our moms listening.
Course. Yes, and you too. Thanks for the insight and the validation.
You've got it.
Yes. Until next time, everybody, take care.
Bye.
Bye.